Rambam, it was not a contradiction. Again, I told you, I think over the last who knows how many years, I've said many times, whatever I was makabel with my Rebbe, it makes no difference to me what anybody else says.
I'm extremely interested in whatever Weinberg has to say.
Okay, let's move on. We are in Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. We did Rabbi Kiva yesterday. We ended up with Rabbi Kiva, and I spoke out that I saw a beautiful vark that Rabbi Kiva was a Gilgul of Shimon. Later, we are up to Tiyaitze B'Davar, right across from Taisus Midami on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Tiyaitze B'Davar Atoimer. Similarly, it says, "V'lo yada v'ashem v'nasa v'aynai." Person sinned, but he didn't know that he sinned, right? "V'lo yada v'ashem." This is written by the parsha of Ashem Talui. "V'lo yada v'ashem." Meaning, I'm trying to find pasuk over here, right? "V'lo yada v'ashem." He didn't know as he sinned. Meaning, he still doesn't know if he sinned. "V'nasa v'aynai." He brings an Ashem Talui. Ashem Talui is when he doesn't know whether he did a chet or not. Ma'am yishu mitzchavim la'alus b'yadah basa tleh. V'allah b'yadah basa chazer. Ma'adach somebody that's intending to eat kosher. And maybe, he ended up eating treif. Now, there is no carbon for chazer. So chazer is being used in an example, as the Gemara just explained right afterwards. You have a piece of fat that's either kosher fat or chalev. Now, he can't say chazer because there's no carbon for eating chazer. Karbanas come for something that by done by mezid is krisis. Eating chazer is not a karas. Eating chalev is. Therefore, he switches right away when he says, well, all of the other chazer, he says, I don't mean chazer, I mean chalev. Amikra, v'nasavaynai. The Torah says, he gets a sin, even though his intentions were pure. Mishin is chavin la'alus b'yadze basur chazer. V'ala b'yadze basur chazer. Imagine a person that got his intention. Allah has kama v'kama. So this is a step further. So let's take Rabbi Kiva through what he said. He said, the Mishnah said, the Braisa said, that if a woman thought she was violating the Torah and she wasn't, because her husband had been made for her. Still the Torah said, she needs a kapara. Not a prescribed kapara, because her husband had been made for it, but upstairs she needs a kapara. Rabbi Yehuda gave Makas Mardas. That has nothing to do with the fact that she needs a kapara. One can need a kapara upstairs without her doing anything down here. The bride is not Rabbi Yehuda. First, also I said yesterday, many Rishonim learned there's no machloikas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is explaining the Tanakam. But either way, that's not what the Braisa here means. The Braisa here means saying she needs a kapara where one needs a kapara upstairs. Rabbi Kiva got there, he cried. And he said two things. Number one, you see intention, right, needs a kapara. Imagine intention and action. Then he said, I can learn the same lesson from Ashem Tolui. Right? I learned this lesson from this woman who needs a kapara for intention without an act of chait. So kosher came when there is intention and an act of chait. And then he said, I can make that same limud from Ashem Tolui. Ashem Tolui has no intention, just an action and needs a kapara. So for sure, when there is intention and an action, for sure you need kapara. In both cases, Rabbi Kiva is using opposite things to get to the same conclusion. In the first case, he's using a woman with intention but no act of chait. And in the second case, he's using a case of no intention and yes, an act of chait. And in both cases, the Torah prescribed the kapara. In one case, the Torah wrote it is. In one case, the Torah just says needs a kapara. So Rabbi Kiva is saying, obviously, if one has both, he's going to need a big kapara. That's all Rabbi Kiva is saying. You see, either one of the two, either intention or action, can require a kapara. One you see from the woman and one you see from Ashem Tolui. Ashem Tolui has no intention and yet has a kapara, needs a kapara. Woman has intention but no action and needs a kapara. So both together can tell you the same message. If you have both, you're worse off and you definitely need a kapara. That's what it's saying. Now, the only problem I have, and I didn't see anybody discuss, and again, I always say, is that why do we have to prove the fact that when you have intention and action, you need a kapara? It's a lav, and we know lav need kapara. Why does the rekiva have to come from both directions to show you that for sure you would need a kapara? We know you need a kapara for eating chazer and intending to eat chazer. The only thing I can think of is that rekiva is trying to say that there's a double kapara needed. There's a punishment for intention, and there's a punishment for action. And when you couple the two together, the kapara needed rises to a different level, which you wouldn't see had the Torah just punished intention, had the Torah just said intention and action needs kapara. We wouldn't know the degree of kapara you need. But by showing you that intention itself needs kapara, and action itself needs kapara, you can multiply it when you have both together. That's all I can understand that he's saying. I don't know any other pshat. Is there a rush? Okay, where is the rush? I don't know how to find it. It's Kiyaitse Medavra Ataymer. Fellas have it? Who you are, Yada? I don't know if I start. The Rush is telling us something here, because the next piece of Gemara is going to look like a repeat. So the Rush is pointing out that the difference between Rabbi Akiva and the next piece is a machloikas that has nothing to do with us. And that is, there's a machloikas throughout Shas, especially in Masechtas Krisis. Whether an Ashim Tali, when does an Ashim Tali brought? One Mandiyama says, it is only brought if you have two pieces in front of you. One is Chalev, one is Shuman. You ate one, you don't know which one. But there was definitely something treif there. You don't know whether you ate it, but there was treif there. The other, but if you only have one piece that you don't know whether it's Chalev or Shuman, there is no Hashem Tali. That's what one Mandiyama says. He learns it from Sukkim, that the only time the Torah says to bring an Hashem Tali is if there's a definite issue here, and a definite heter, you ate one, you don't know which one, that's when the Torah said, bring an Ashim Tali.
This call is no longer being recorded.
But if you have, I don't know why I was just not no longer being recorded, but if you have, somebody was playing around, I guess, by Baruch Meitz is on his computer, but if you have...
I don't know, maybe Rebbe started again.
But if you have one piece and you don't know whether it's Chalev or Shuman, it's an Aveira to eat it, but you don't have an Ashim Tali. Learn that from Sukkim. One Mandiyama says it makes no difference. Now, if you notice, Rabbi Akiva talked about one piece, Savik Shul Shuman, Savik Shul Chalev. And he says that's where the Torah said Ashim Tali, even there. The next Mandiyama is going to use the same Ashim Tali, but he's going to give you an example where there are two pieces. Because he holds there is no Ashim Tali when there's one piece. So that's the difference between this Mandiyama and the next Mandiyama, and that's what the Rush points out here. Dr. Rush, with Darish Lo Rebbe Akiva, the Chaticha Achas, in one piece. The Karatin Yana, and the next Pasik, that Ra'isi Ben Yehuda is going to bring, change it to? The Arish La'isi Ben Yehuda Le'beis Chaticha. The Kavayu Tzrichi is a Mefarish. And the Gemara is going to explain why we need both. Why we need both Sukkah. But that's what he's saying is, you're going to read Rabbi Akiva, then you read the next Monday Yomar. It sounds like a repeat. The answer is there's a difference. Rabbi Akiva talks about one piece, the next Monday Yomar is going to talk about two pieces being there. Let's move to the next Monday Yomar. Isi ben Yehuda Aymer. V'lo yada v'ashe b'nasa v'aynai. Now that's the same pasuk that we brought a moment ago. The Rush had a girsa that he brought a different pasuk. And the Rush's girsa was, he doesn't bring it, but in the Hagaz Tziyunim I have it here, v'hu lo yada v'nisach loy. Because the Rush says Isi ben Yehuda brings a separate pasuk. In our Gemara he brings the same pasuk. So obviously, the Rush must have had that Isi ben Yehuda brought a different pasuk. So the Rush tells us the pasuk is not going to be on the test. It's another pasuk. And what does Izzy Ben Yehuda say that pasuk tells me? Ma misha neschavim lalos biyasa basat lab. The other biyasa basat chaser. He wanted to eat kosher, and he ended up eating crepe. Chagan! Stei chatichas. Two pieces. Achas o chaylev, the achas o shuman. There were two pieces there. Beis. Amikra v'nasa v'aynai. The Torah says he has to have a kapara. Hamitzchav and lalas v'yoda baser tleh, baser chazer, v'ala b'yasa chazer, alachas kama v'kama. A repeat of Rabbi Akiva. If an Ashim Tali is brought for action without intention, imagine what one would need for action and intention. V'aldavr zeh yidvu hadavim. And this, the pained ones, I think that's what it means. What?
Sensitive ones.
He says sensitive? No, I would say it means pained. But it doesn't make a difference. Yidvu hadavim. So it's interesting he added those words, that this makes us feel pained. So Tosfos says something that Yidvu stands for Yoda v'asham v'nasa. Yud Dalet is Yoda, Vav is v'asham, and the next Vav is v'nasa. Yidvu hadavim. That Izzy Ben Yehuda is using a cute way of saying how a person is pained, using the pasuk of Yadav Hashem. Now that only works if you have that same, the pasuk we have. Now if you have Izzy Ben Yehuda's second pasuk, you wouldn't be able to say it because it doesn't fit into Yidvu. It's a Tosfos. It's not a Chassidish regard, it's a Tosfos. The Yidvu stands for Yadav Hashem v'nasav Hashem. Hashem v'nasav. Dr. Rush, no Rush. So far we have three things, three proofs to the fact that person needs kapara when he wanted to do an avera and he did it. We brought one from the lady who had intention but no avera. We brought it from Rabbi Akiva, avera and no intention in one piece. And then we brought Izzy Ben Yehuda who said intention, no intention in avera when there's two pieces. What do we have to bring three proofs that somebody who wants to eat chazer and eats chazer gets needs a big kapara? Why do we have to bring three proofs? Dr. Gemara Tzrichin, the Itana Gabi Isha, I would have said, Hasamu to buy a kapara, the Slicha, should be Mikara Li Surichav. I would have said, there, the intention is there. That's why one needs a kapara. Avachaticha, Suffix, Shochelim, Suffix, Shushuman, the Leheteri Chavim, will buy a kapara, Slicha. I would have said, but action without intention doesn't need kapara. We would have learned from the woman that a woman that has intention without action needs a kapara. So for sure, intention and action. But how about action without intention? I wouldn't know you need a kapara. There's no intention. Maybe the main punishment comes from the intention, not from the action. Therefore, the Torah had to write, no, you need a kapara for action without intention. So therefore, the Torah wrote, Avachatir, right? That's why I need the pasuk that says, by one piece, you need a kapara. There I would say, Hashem Tali needs because it was an action. But intention not. Meaning, Hashem Tali tells me action. Woman tells me intention. One wouldn't teach me the other. The woman needs a kapara is intention. Hashem Tali is for action without intention. If I would say one, I wouldn't know the other. The answer is, both need kapara. I don't know what that means.
We need more kapara.
I'll get to that in a second, okay? Because I don't want to get off this subject. It's going to take me a little bit off the subject. V'yi et mahani tarti, havamin hani tarti the sagaloi mekapara slicha, bo ikvi yisura. There it's because there was no definite chelov. Avushtei chatichas achasho chelov achasho suman, the ikvi yisura, le sagaloi mekapara slicha. I would say when there's two pieces here and there was a definite chelov, maybe you need more. Kamash Malan, that kapara helps. Now, let's stop right here. There's a number of things, Deloishna, a number of things that bother me, at least, in this Gemara. Number one is you can't compare the kapara of the woman to the kapara of Hashem Tali. There you bring a carbon. The woman doesn't bring a carbon. She didn't do an act of chait. She needs a kapara of intentionality. Hashem Kali is more than just I have to say Al Chait and Ashamnu. The woman, anybody that does it, has to actually bring a kapara. So I don't understand the Havamina and the Gemara. Had it only said the woman, I wouldn't have figured out Hashem Kali. I need to tell you Hashem Kali anyway, because you have to bring a carbon. Even if I could figure out that you need a kapara, I wouldn't know you need a carbon. So I don't understand what the Gemara is trying to do here. Had it only said the case of the woman, I would have thought the case of Hashem Kali, you don't need a kapara, because there was no intentionality. But you need a kapara, Hashem Kali. The Torah would have to tell to me, even if you didn't need a kapara. I'm not sure why the Gemara seems to say, I wouldn't have figured it out. You don't figure it out anyway, because you can never figure out a carbon unless the Torah prescribes one. That's problem number one. Problem number two is the Mefarshim have, and that is, what if a guy has a piece of shuman and a piece of chaylev? And he knows it's chaylev. And he knows one is shuman, he doesn't know which one. And he eats it. Does he bring it on some tali? The mazed went and ate something that was something chaylev. He knew it was chaylev. One was chaylev. Pashtas, Hashem Tali comes, but he found out later that one was chaylev and one was shuman, and he doesn't know which one he ate. But he was totally shaking. The Gemara makes it sound, this is worse because there's two pieces here. And therefore, why does it make a difference, two pieces or one piece? He didn't know. The answer is that he knew that one was chaylev. Is there an Hashem Tali in that case? He's amazed. He's amazed. Not amazed to eat chaylev, but amazed to eat something chaylev. If he was aware...
Do we know that?
Yeah, so the answer is you're not. So what is the Gemara saying? I would think by two pieces, kapara is not well good enough. Why? Why is kapara not good enough? Because there's one chaylev there. He still doesn't know if he ate chaylev. What is the difference between one piece and two pieces? The Gemara seems to say, by two pieces, it's worse. Because there was a definite chaylev. But it doesn't make a difference. He didn't know. So this is the machlokes. Rashi says in Krisus, I believe, I was told, at least the Mefarshim say, that you bring an Hashem Tali even if you were aware that there was a chaylev there and you ate it. But many argue on this, Rashi. So you have to say that for some reason having chaylev there, even if you didn't know, makes it a worse thing. Because the Mishnah said there was a sure chaylev there. Not that you knew, but the fact that it was there, you would think is a worse aveira. I want to read the Rush. Look the Rush. Avu shtei chatichas de ikvi yisura. V'lehutsu ha-talmud leimer v'yit me shtei chatichas. Now, the Rush is bothered. Why doesn't the Gemara say it? If it only said the case of two pieces, what would I think? Because the Pasuk never says beferish two pieces. The Mashtos dekrol le mishtama beis chatichas el miyisur deshinalei. We only learn the two pieces because there's an extra Pasuk. But if you only had one Pasuk, I would say it's going on one piece. So therefore, the Gemara never comes back and say, let it only say the case of two pieces. Why do I need the case of one piece? Because it never says two pieces. We only learn it out because we have two psukim. This is the Rush learning that there's two separate psukim. Yes, Doctor.
Did you see anyone say, or do you think that it may be that in the case of two pieces, where he definitely ate one, a volitional act, he ate one, that really he is obligated in Hashem Kali, however he's prevented from bringing the Hashem Kali because of bringing the clone on the...
why?
In the case that he did not
know the Hashem Tali is meant to be brought when one doesn't know.
Right.
And it's not a question of chulin or mizbeach. The whole concept of Hashem Tali is that the Torah prescribed the carbon for one who doesn't know.
Right.
And he brings it for lack of knowledge. And the Torah says it's not chulin bazar. By the way, as an aside, a person who brings an Hashem Tali then finds out it was chaylev, has to bring a chatas. Hashem Tali does not absolve sin. Hashem Tali says you're protected till one is protected till one finds out. That's all it does. Chatas ha'ivabal ha'safik, if you remember, that absolves. Hashem Tali is not absolved. It is a protection till one finds out. Whereas then he would have to bring a chatas if he ever finds out. He might never find out.
Includes a
I don't know what that means. How do you find out?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
If people tell him, he'll know. If nobody tells him, he'll never know.
You know, he's going to be relaxed about it, but he
doesn't have to. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question. I would think that the guy would want to find out so he can clear his record upstairs. There's a Gemara that we will have increases from Eretz Hashem that is going to shock everybody, that if a guy owes an Asham Toli and then Yom Kippur comes, he doesn't have to bring the Asham Toli. Yom Kippur will take care of the need of Asham Toli. So a guy only brings an Asham Toli, decided to be sinned in Nisan. He doesn't want to sit there for 6 months without having protection. So bring an Asham Toli, so therefore you're protected. But if the guy sinned on Chavtes El, I'm sorry, on Tes Tishrei, he waits one day, he'll be fine. He doesn't have to bring an Asham Toli. Yom Kippur will provide him with the protection he needs. The only carbon that Yom Kippur affects. The guy is Chayav Chatas, and then Yom Kippur comes, it doesn't absolve him from the Chatas. And this is Drushes and Sechtes Krisis. Let's wait till we get some Sechtes Krisis. Yes.
Yeah, but he might get much smarter than being a smarty pants.
What?
He might get mock smarter than being a smarty pants.
Why be a smarty pants?
Deliberately wait, saying, well, Yom Kippur's coming.
Okay, that's, I don't know. I wouldn't give him mock smarter because Gemara doesn't say that. We don't make up our own mock smarter.
Well, that actually brings up the question I was wondering about. This lady who ate something which was much, just didn't know that she was itself. Does that mandate mock smartest or is it an option of mine?
I think Rebuta is saying it mandates it. But it's not the limitless mock smartest. That's what the Rush spoke at yesterday. The limitless mock smartest only comes for a person who refuses to do a positive. So till he agrees to do the positive, we whip away. And if he never agrees, I guess he never agrees and he dies that way. Whereas over here, it's a Malchus Midas on a negative. And that is more limited. That does not happen, a limitless thing. We wouldn't go past 39. We don't have to give 39. Malchus Midas is arbitrary to Bezen. They decide what they want to give the guy. So I think I'm right. I'm a rabbi by Bachan, I'm a rabbi Yechidim. My dechsev, it says in the Pasuk, Yisharim Darki Hashem. Hashem's ways are proper. Proper? Straight? What does he use?
Straight.
Tzadikim Yehubam, I think he takes out the Vav, the Bach, yeah. Tzadikim go on it. Upaishim Yekashlubam. And sinners stumble on it. Now here we're talking about, they're doing the same thing. It's Darki Hashem. And the Pashim stumble on Darki Hashem. It's not saying Pashim don't do Darki Hashem. We're talking about they're doing the same thing. Because if they're not doing the same thing, then it's not a contrast. It should say, Tzadikim go on Darki Hashem and Pashim don't. Not Yekashlubam, they don't stumble over Darki Hashem, they don't do it. Yekashlubam means they did the same action. Tzadikim, Rishayim, Pashim are doing the same thing or very similar. And one is Yehubam, and one is Yekashlubam. That's what the Pasuk is saying. So what is the example of that? And the Gemara is going to try many options till it gets to the right option. Zok the Gemara. First option. Mashul l'shnei b'nei adam. It is a mashul, this is the example. Two people, Shetzalus b'tzchayim, they both roasted their carbon Pesach. Echad achlu l'shem mitzvah, the echad achlu l'shem achila gasa. One ate it, mitzvah, and one was full and forced himself to eat. Both ate carbon Pesach. Zesh achlu l'shem mitzvah tzadikim yelchubam. The one who waited for a mitzvah, he did a mitzvah, he ate carbon Pesach. Zesh achlu l'shem achila gasa, Pashim Yekashlubam. He didn't do a mitzvah. It was Achila Gasa. Did not do the mitzvah. No questions yet. I'm a little bit sluggish. Hi, Rosh Hakaraslai. You call him a Pesheya? He did eat carbon Pesach. How can you say he's a Pesheya? Granted, he's not starred. It doesn't get a star for doing the mitzvah in its best way. But you cuss Lubav? You cuss Lubav Masmid, he didn't get the mitzvah. It's not true. Both of them got the mitzvah of Achilas Pesach. One got it at basement level, and one got it at 10th floor level. But they both got the mitzvah of Achilas Pesach. How can you call him a Pesheya? Pesheya means he's lacking the mitzvah. He's not lacking the mitzvah. We need an example that two people do the same thing, one gets a mitzvah, one doesn't. This is not a good example. He gets a mitzvah. I'm reading a Gemara. All these things are waiting to be explained. Yes?
He intended from the beginning.
It is Achilas Gasa. Erev Pesach afternoon, he loved his wife's Knedlich. I don't know if you can eat Knedlich on Erev Pesach afternoon. I don't eat Knedlich ever. He loved his wife's potato blintzes that she made from Erev Pesach. He ate 100 of them, and now he goes to eat Korban Pesach. Or he loves matzah, and he sat there and ate matzah and potato kugel, and by the time he gets to Pesach, he just doesn't have it. Dr. Rush. Well, he did eat it. That's the Gemara's kasha. That's what Rosh Lakish is asking. He did.
So if he didn't, it would possibly be worse.
Of course. I'm not arguing. The Gemara is saying he didn't get the mitzvah. And the Gemara's question, yes, he did.
He's got the problem potentially every year of not coming.
Potentially. Zucked, that depends on how much you eat by Shulchan Aruch. It's very simple. Zucked the Rosh. The Hidu Le'Avid Mitzvah Min HaMufchar Pesach HaMufchar Mitzvah Yikavit Vim Taimar. Frank the Rosh, he doesn't understand this Gemara. I believe Dr. Harris was shooting for this. But Mashmeh B'Perek HaGoyzel Kama, in the ninth Perek of Baba Kama, it says, the Achila Gasa Lav Shem Achila. The Achila Gasa is not called eating. If a person forces himself, but he can't eat, and he eats, it's not, he didn't eat. It wouldn't be Chayv in Yom Kippur. He wouldn't even be Chayv for eating a Yom Kippur Achila Gasa. Vim Kain Isser Abish Le'yotzi Dechavasa. So what's the Gemara's question? Yeshloim Rehachi Kamar. So the Rosh is going to offer two pshatim. Two pshatim in the answer. The Rosh's question is, the Gemara says, Achila Gasa, he ate the Korban Pesach. Dr. Rosh, the Gemara in Baba Kama says, he didn't eat the Korban Pesach. The Gemara says in Yuma that if you eat Achila Gasa in Yom Kippur, you're not chayiv. What is not chayiv? Because he didn't eat. That's not called eating. So what's the Gemara's problem? So the Rosh offers answers, two answers. Number one, Dr. Rosh, of course he wasn't Yaitz eating the Korban Pesach. The Hidla Yatza Yidei Chavosim Achilas Pesach. Granted that Achila Gasa is not eating Pesach, but Rosh Acharis Leih. Why are you calling him a Rosh? Maho Yachol Asas in Mekvar Sova. Ein Loi Lim Lim Melecho. Ein Loi Request a Rosh Amachloi. This guy is a victim of circumstance. He created a circumstance that he can't eat. So he tries. You're going to call him a Rosh? He is trying to eat. Unfortunately for him, because of his wife's potato kugel, he can't eat. But the bottom line is, he's trying to eat. Can't call him a Rosh. Rosh means a bad guy. He's not a bad guy. That's what they come up. So going to the first side of the Rosh, Enoch and Ami wasn't Yaitz Mitzvah Achilas Pesach. But the Gemara's problem is, Pesheya? Rosh? Over here, we would be very quick to mark him as a Rosh. Obviously, the Rosh says the Gemara doesn't feel it can. Rosh means deliberate. It's not deliberate. He made a mistake. He overate. You can call him a Rosh for making the mistake of overeating? He's trying. He's not ignoring Korban Pesach. He's trying his best. Unfortunately for him, he made a mistake. Can't call him a Rosh. Dr. Rosh, Rabbeinu Tam Tiritz. Rabbeinu Tam answers. The Trei Gavni Achila Gasa Havu. There's two kinds of Achila Gasa. Hasa Mairi, the Gemara in Baba Kama is talking about Shukat V'Eichel, that he's disgusted of eating. You offer him food, he looks at you like, And eating at this point will give him no pleasure. That kind of achila gata in Yom Kippur is butter. The hachamayri for savei harbe, he's very full of ein katz b'malchol. He still enjoys it. He's full, not desiring it, but he's not disgusted. And that's why the Gemara says he's yotz Pesach. He ate. He enjoyed it. Not good, but he ate it. One second. So here we go. We got to that in one second. So the only problem I have with Rabbeinu Tam is to let the Gemara answer that this guy was very full. Rabbeinu Tam is answering the reason the Gemara says he ate the Pesach is because he's not dealing with the guy that's holding in that Madrega that he's disgusted from eating. So therefore the Gemara says, he's not a Russia. He ate Pesach. And he was Yaitza. And the Gemara moves on to another example. The Gemara could have answered, he ate so much that Imam is disgusted. And then according to Rabbeinu Tam, he wouldn't be Yaitza the Mitzvah Achilas Pesach. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't answer that according to Rabbeinu Tam. Now what Faito asked is, what happened to our Saiba? The answer is there's three Madregas, and this is why Abikaiman becomes very difficult. Ala Saiba means you're still a little bit hungry. Ala Saiba means that you're still a little bit hungry. You're full almost. Once you not have any desire to eat, it's not ala Saiba.
Right, but Rabbeinu Tam says it's
Kishmaka
food, he wants to eat it.
No. Rabbeinu Tam says as follows. There's three Madregas. The achila gasa that's not achila is a guy that doesn't want to eat because it bothers him. The achila gasa of this Gemara, he's not hungry at all. He has no desire to eat it. But when he eats it, he does get hana. He doesn't want to eat. He has no desire. He's not hungry at all. It's overeating. But a lot of people overeat and enjoy themselves. He overeats and he has a little bit of enjoyment of the matzah by Pesach. Pesach is tasty. He might enjoy it. It's a barbecued piece of meat. Smart. But he doesn't have a desire to eat it. Al Saiba means he still has a little bit of desire. That's why Pesach night is hard. You have to keep that little bit of desire. You have to want to eat Avigleiman, not because you have to, because you want to. Achila Gasa is when you have no desire to eat and you're doing God a favor and you're eating his Avigleiman. That's Achila Gasa. You're Yaitza, but that's the second stage. Then if a guy is so disgusted that food, that guy is not eating in Yom Kippur. That's why Rabbeinu Tam Shita. And Rabbeinu Tam learned that this Gemara is the middle stage. It doesn't matter, but I have to answer Allah Saiba. Yes?
So everyone holds that eating, when the eating itself makes you sick to your stomach, is not yet a carbon payment, is not chayav on Yom Kippur.
Correct.
How do we redact this with the Gemara we covered a couple of decades ago? In Pesachim, that a person shoves the matzah down your mouth against your will, if you get to
it. Sure, yeah, but you enjoy it. Because you can enjoy it. You're hungry. Again, but once you eat it, the stomach enjoys it.
Okay.
It's not Pesach.
Where is it?
Rosh Hashanah.
Thank you very much.
Kafah v'achol matzah. It's in Pesach. Where in Pesach? Is it there? I don't remember Mr. Sichas Kavan over there. I don't remember from there. Yeah, no Raya that I remember. You have a much better memory and no shots, 1,000 times better. But my knowledge, it's in Rosh Hashanah and Chav Ches.
I would simply point out, as we discussed meat earlier, that certain things cannot be counted as well. The quantification of exactly how much one knows is not quantifiable.
Anyway, I don't think it's himself. I don't remember from there. It's one of the things I think I would remember. That's why I say most of the time I said I don't remember. I don't remember either way. This time I think it's not there. Okay.
Which level is talking about?
Our Gemara is talking about when he still enjoys the food even though he has no desire. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't just answer. He's beyond that. The first answer is saying there's no difference. He's not Yaitza. But he's not a Russia. He tried. No, but he's a victim of circumstances. His wife, Data Koga, was just too good to refuse. The Knedlich by the Seder, for the guy who eats Gebrocks, you know what I mean?
Sounds good.
have Wisconsin on a short winter's day. You don't have Al Sola. You don't have to worry about that.
No.
But
you're right. You shouldn't eat a chiligasa. It says the Ferish Halacha, don't eat too much by the day meal, so you should have a desire to eat something by Shalosh Shabbos.
Is it a favor at that point to eat a chiligasa or even here? Yeah.
It says in Halacha that if you don't feel like eating, just eat a piece of cake.
I understand that part.
Because it doesn't want you to eat a chiligasa.
Is it a favor?
I know what you mean by avera. Is he yaitza Shalosh Shabbos? Depends what degree of a chiligasa he's at. If he's at the point that he's disgusted with eating, don't eat Shalosh Shabbos.
Is that what, I know you said that a couple of times.
There are two kinds of achilagasa. The word achilagasa, according to Rabbeinu Tam, has two levels.
One where it's just too much and the other one is disgusting.
One is that he has no desire but enjoys it. And one is that it makes him sick to his stomach.
And so for Shalosh
Shabbos, for Shalosh Shabbos, the eitzah is don't eat so much by the day meal.
That's good eitzah.
Okay, so that's what it is.
Maisa. That's like the guy.
Maisa, take a nap, you'll wake up, you're hungry. Okay.
No.
I don't know, it depends how fast you eat the day meal, you know what I mean?
Okay,
and for the Gemara. You have it?
But I remember there's somewhere else in Shas.
That could be, but I don't remember it himself. So I think about it. Ella, new case. Mashul is named Adam. Two people. Zav Ishtai Vachaisa Imai. What did the Beis add? Probably Bemita. No, Babaya. There's two women in the house. The house is pitch dark. One is his wife and one is his sister. They both have two different people, two sets of circumstance, I mean the same circumstance. One has his wife and sister, one has his wife and sister. It's pitch black. He walks into a room and he has a relationship with a woman. One ended up living with his wife, and one ended up living with his sister. They both were in the same circumstance. They did the right thing. They lived with their wife. It's a mitzvah. Didn't mean he meant to do the right thing. He did the wrong thing. Because he was negligent. He's a Rasha. He ended up being a Rasha. Same act. Same circumstance. Zakta Gemara, mi dami. Ananka mina chada derech. Hakashnei drachim. They didn't do the same thing. We said they did the very same act. By Pesach, at least you had the very same act of eating Pesach. Here, one lived with a wife and one lived with a sister. The setup was the same, but the actuality was totally different. You can't call it one derech. And for the Gemara, Ela Moshul Eloi Tushnei Ben Aysav. The Nafkamina would be Light and his two daughters. Who is Hashem is chavim l'shem mitzvah tzadikim yelchubam? Who is chavim l'shem aveiro paishim yikashluba? There was an act that happened by light. A father lived with his daughters. They meant totally l'shem shemayim, totally l'shem shemayim. He meant not l'shem shemayim, and the Gemara is going to prove it. They were tzadikim, and he was a rasha. Same act, same thing, but intention made the difference. Whether one is a tzaddik or one is a rasha. The Gemara is going to ask you a question. Let's do the rasha.
When you first said poshim, I thought it meant that Oshea is someone who's lax in doing his mitzvah. Not that he's a rasha.
Well, the Gemara calls him a rasha. The Gemara says poshim means a rasha.
A rasha does things intentionally.
Not necessarily. Well, in the case of white, it was intentionally.
Yeah, that's also a different story.
Again, tomorrow we'll talk about that. Dr. Rash, Chada Derech, Chatari Kailuk Bava Eina Nixo, Vah Rasha Nixo, Vah Beis Drachim, Zeh Bali, Shtabit Zeh Bala Chaitai. Hushin is Chavim L'Aveira. Command Amr B'Yavam, Vah Zgoy Asir B'Bitai. What was the Aveira? What Aveira did he do? So Machloikis and Sinedra, where the guy can live with his daughter. Might not be an erva. So what did he do wrong? So the Rush first says, it's going like the Mandamer, it says it is an Avera. But if you look at the Mandamer Mutter, Midor Amabu of Eloch, Gadru Aleim Gather Erva. Even the Mandemar says it's mutter, but after Dar Amabu, the Goyim accepted not to do such things. Upirshu Marai Varaya. Right? And yet, he did it. That means the Russia was not in violating Gili Arayas. The Russia was violating the Gedder that the whole world made. What's the proof that he wasn't supposed to do what he did? Why did they get him drunk? They got him drunk because they were afraid he wouldn't acquiesce to the act. So therefore, they had to get him drunk in order to do it. Now, they thought it was mutter. They paskened that the act is mutter. Right? And the Gemara is very satisfied with their psak. The Gemara does not fault them for that. Hold a second. The Gemara does not fault them for it. Now, according to the second shot in the Rosh, it's very simple. It's mutter. It was only a getter that the world made because of Arias, and they thought no one was left. The ish aim ba'aret, lovi aleinu kizera kalaret. What are we supposed to do? Obviously, that getter that was made doesn't apply. According to the first shot, that it's usher, one has to understand what was their rationale. Right? I can't, honestly, don't know. But I know they were tzaddikim, because Gemara calls them tzaddikim, number one. Number two is there's a story printed in the Akdama of Rav Moshe of somebody who said disparagingly about B'nai Flight and ended up in a very bad place. So therefore, we have to be very careful not to say anything disparaging about the B'nai Flight. For a different thing, not for the act.
Okay.
The Gemara is going to criticize one of them. The Gemara is going to criticize one of them, but the Gemara is not going to criticize it for the act.
So therefore,
according to the Pshat that it's usher, they must have had a rationale that this is mutter. Whatever their rationale is, we might run into the Gemara that explains it a little bit. I'm not 100% sure, so therefore I'm not going to give a definitive answer. According to the second Pshat in the Rosh, it's very simple. There was a getter that people were makabel, and now we're in a place that we can't keep it, so we have to break it. Yes?
No, I mean,
haven't gotten to your question, and that's what's bothering you, so we'll wait till we get there.
Yeah, I'm just saying, even if you don't say it's winter, just the fact that this is a situation that humanity is ending, so you have to,
in
the Holocaust, you know, you have to eat tree.
Okay, so now you get to a different shaila. Is there Yerek Vayavar by a guy? A guy is in a position that he's not even the same case. Here is a case that humanity is going to end unless a person commits Gili Arayas. What you tell that person to do? Let's say in 2040, Chas V'Shalom, will we ever get there without Mashiach? Chas V'Shalom. But let's say in 2040, there's nobody left in the world unless one does Gili Arayas. Is that a heter? That could be Ben Nayach is different. Who says Ben Nayach is Mechuyev and Yerek Vayavar? Not so simple. That's by Yidden. They were not Yidden. They were Ben Nayach. That's a possible answer. You're right. But I'm not sure. Maybe they are Mechuyev and Yerek Vayavar. If they are, who says they have to worry about humanity? Who gave it their job? But maybe they did. I'm not in any way, chas v'shalom, saying anything negative. I just said I don't know their explanation of it. That's all I said. I don't know. Many things I don't know. Add this to the list. Zok the Gemara weiter. Frek the Gemara. B'dumu unami l'shem mitzvachav. Who says he meant bad? Maybe before the Gemara, then I get to the drunk question later on. First the Gemara asked another question. Who says he meant bad? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaPasik Aseh HaShem Aveir Nemar. The following pasik, the whole pasik, is an extra pasik. It's very wordy. And each word alludes to the fact that Loit loved Gili Arayas. He loved Tznus. Shenemar, Nemar. What's the pasik? I'll read the whole pasik. Vayisa Loit Aseinav, Vayar is Kol Kikur Hayar De Kihula Mashka. Lufnei Shachas Adei Hashem Esdaim B'Samayra Kigan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim Be'achat Sayar. When Avram gave him a choice, he moved right or left. He picked up his eyes and he saw how wonderful Zayim is, and therefore he picked Zayim. That's the pasuk. very wordy. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Vayisa light is a reference to Batisa Eishes Adayna Bethanel. We find that language used in a sense of Znus, when the Eishes Potiphar wanted to entrap Yosef. It says the word Batisa. Here it says Vayisa light, right? That means it's a word that references Gila Arayas. Esaynaha, Esaynaf, Kihi Yishara Beinoi, Shimshon wanted to go marry a Plishtin girl. He said, Kihi Yishara Beinoi, the word Einoi is a reference to a desire to live with a woman that we don't recommend. Vayar, it says Vayar, Vayar Eishishchem Ben Chamar. We see a reference in the Pasuk, Vayar means Gila Arayas. It's called Kikur Hayardein. Now, Kikur means a plain, but Kikur also means a loaf of bread. People are willing to pay for a Zayna with bread. So Kikar, Kikula Mashka, is full of water. I will follow by lovers. Who give me my bread and water. Timri Ubishti, my wool and linen. Shamni Vishikuye, my oil and my drinks. And it's talking about Arayas. Period. So we see that life was a desired Arayas. Because this whole wordy pasuk is a reference to things of Arayas. Frekti Gemar Vameinus on us. He was drunk. What do you want from him? There's a dot on the ubakuma. Now, if you remember Pashim Shad, he didn't know when she went to sleep with him and when she got up. He did know. The Pasuk is saying ubakuma because he acted like he didn't know. But in actuality, he knew when she got up that she had lived with him. It was too late. He should have been aware that the next night they might do the same thing. And therefore, that means he didn't care. He wasn't going to do it consciously. So he allowed them to get him drunk to do it. The first night, he had no idea. But he was aware of it after it happened. It wasn't that he was unaware. So now, the second night, taking precaution, because he didn't care. So therefore, the Gemara calls him a Rasha. And them, Tzadikim. And that's Ki Yisharim Darki Hashem, Tzadikim Yelchubam, Upaishim Yekashlubam. Same act. One does it with the right intention, it's a mitzvah. One does it with the wrong intention, it's an Aveira. Everybody say...